Zorn, the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Wow.
Eric, all right,
it's my new theme song. Do you like it?
Sorry, yes.
Is that from the show?
It's from the show. It's
beautiful.
It's from Son of Zorn, the new Fox show, which I'm depressed to report is getting really good ratings.
Why are you depressed?
Because I've told you, I do not want to be associated with this cartoon.
Tim Meadows is in it, right?
I don't know who's in it.
Meadows. Jason Sudeikis is the voice of the of Zorn.
Yeah.
It's going to fly, man.
Oh, man.
We can play your theme all the time.
That's what
now.
I want. I've got a good theme song out of it, so I guess I can't complain.
Eric, before you came in, we were talking about Donald Trump, who had said over the weekend, it's time for Saturday Night Live to go away. He's not happy with the show. He thinks it's influencing the election. He says, media rigging election, exclamation point, in a tweet he sent out the other day. So Wendy and I were just discussing, does the media have the power to influence? It can certainly influence, but it can't decide the election.
Can't rig an election, no. Obviously, you have all kinds of candidates throughout time who have succeeded despite not being endorsed by the media. This is a pretty extraordinary moment, though. If you look at, I think, I haven't checked today, but the last I looked, of all the American newspapers, Donald Trump has one endorsement from a small paper in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Every paper, including many of them that endorse Republicans consistently, Cincinnati Inquirer, Arizona Republic, papers like that, have come out and either endorsed Hillary Clinton, or in the case of the Tribune, we endorsed Gary Johnson. USA Today, which doesn't even usually endorse candidates, wrote an editorial endorsing not Trump, basically,
right,
saying, you know, look,
anybody,
we don't care. We don't care who you vote for. Vote for Jill Stein, vote for Gary Johnson, vote for Hillary, but don't vote for Trump. So in a sense, he is right that the mainstream media is four square against his candidacy and against, you know, his what he stands for and what he's been saying. Is that rigging an election? Is this? I mean, rigging an election to me implies some sort of an orchestrated plot,
like you're manipulating the votes.
Like we would call up the Washington Post and say, "Well, what are you going to run today?
Yeah.
We'll run that, and you hit him on this, we'll hit him on that." You know, this idea of a conspiracy. There's nothing like that. This is just basically a wholesale rejection of his candidacy by just about every mainstream media outlet.
I was telling Wendy last night on HBO, John Oliver has a show where they review the week, and the point of this particular piece was to say to people out there, I know you think there's two bad candidates and maybe you'll go rogue on everybody and vote for either Gary Johnson or Jill Stein, but you need to know this about Gary Johnson and Jill Stein. And then he showed a highlights or lowlights reel about their last couple of months or years. And it really makes you go, okay, so there's four people running for president that I'm not thrilled with.
Well, couple things about that. One, I did a piece on Gary Johnson a couple weeks ago saying, look, I mean, he stands for a number of things that libertarians are for,
mm-hmm.
but he's getting support from a lot of progressives and liberals. I say a lot, but at the time there were like 29% of these of millennial voters who were inclined to vote for Bernie Sanders had decided they were going to vote for Gary Johnson. And I just said, look, take a look at this guy's record. Take a look at what he's actually for. You know, what his record is. And if you still like that, then go ahead and vote for him. But don't be fooled that he's just like this, your friendly uncle who's actually on your side on a lot of issues. He's not. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think the closer it gets to the election, these people who are considering voting for third-party candidates, especially in some of these swing states, are going to say, like, I'm not going to throw away my vote in such an important election on something that is totally symbolic. In Illinois, it's a little different. Illinois is, you know, strongly blue. It's going to go for Hillary Clinton probably 10, 15 percentage points. Those who want to cast symbolic votes can probably feel pretty comfortable that they're not going to make a difference. But, you know, you don't want to get a situation like in Florida where, you know, you voted for Ralph Nader and you could have supported one of the two candidates that actually have a chance of winning.
This is the election of the crazy uncles and the crabby aunt.
Pretty much. Yeah, that's what they should call
it.
That's
really what it is.
Yeah, I'm not as negative on Hillary Clinton as a lot of people are. I mean, she obviously's got her faults. She's obviously, you know, got some issues. She's going to be a fine president, assuming she's elected. She's going to be she knows how to work across the aisle. She knows how to work with Republicans. She did it when she was in the Senate for 8 years. She's really smart. She knows all the issues.
She is really smart and competent.
And she, you know, for better or for worse, she's very moderate. She, like, puts her finger to the wind all the time to figure out where to go. She's an incrementalist. She likes to move things a little bit at a time. She's not a radical, as people are painting her. She's not out to grab everybody's guns.
She's not a communist?
She's not. And it's funny how they're portraying Lange or someone, she, again, you know, she's got her issues. I mean, she, and I think one of them has to do with this fact that she says what she thinks she needs to say to get elected, and she was, you know, was caught saying that in some of these leaked speech transcripts where she's saying, like, well, yeah, you've got to have an inside position, you've got to have an outside position,
sure,
the position that you actually take when you're negotiating, the position you tell the public you have. You know,
but everybody knows that.
Yes,
is it just
exactly?
Is it just seeing it in print that is jarring to some people? Everybody knows that.
It is. It's how politics works. It's how it's always worked. And she, in the second debate, I think it was, said, well, she was speaking of how Lincoln was able to do this when he was president, that he was able to, you know, play one side off the other and say one thing to one group, one thing to another group, in order to bring them together to get something done. And, you know, obviously people were offended and had their underwear in a knot about mm-hmm. her comparing herself to Lincoln. But, it, you know, it's true. And you know, I do want to get in a little bit to this idea of using these leaked emails. I mean, it's stolen material, and the media is just eagerly scarfing it up and,
sure,
and repurposing it and without even an ethical blink. But, you know, what you see is a leak, a series of leaks from WikiLeaks. They're coming out, and if they just wanted to dump all the data at one time that they have— You know, that's kind of one thing, even though it's all one-sided. They are strategically letting little bits of this out as it goes along. I mean, this is I don't know if it's coordinated with the Trump campaign, but it certainly seems to be aimed at helping the Trump campaign. That they're not, if they have all this data, they should just let it all go.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, they're like parceling it out a little bit at a time. And I think we're going to see it's going to get more and more incendiary, more and more controversial as we get closer to the election. And I think there's also a possibility that they have laid the groundwork for a hoax, that they have let out all these things that they have found. They've actually, you know, they've hacked into emails. There's no question about it. There's very little question. Most of the stuff they have is authentic. And most of the stuff they've put out so far has been real. But the fact that nobody really challenged, when these things come out, their authenticity is never challenged or seldom challenged by the media. We're just like saying, oh, WikiLeaks said this. Here it is. We're printing it. This is material that was stolen. It'd be like, you know, if I broke into Rahm Emanuel's house and went into his file cabinet, pulled out a file folder and went out on the street and said, look what I found in Rahm Emanuel's private journals or something like that. It's that much of an invasion of privacy. And yet there is absolutely no concern, ethical concern that I can detect in the American media about it. And there wasn't about the Trump's leaked tax return either, which is, you know, people were saying that, you know, that was private information that somebody managed to get somehow and leaked it to the media, and we just ran with it. Like, we'll just take stuff that's stolen and put it out there. And the Clinton campaign just lately has been saying, well, this is kind of like Watergate. What if Nixon had come out and
sure.
said, look what we, yeah, sure, we broke into the Democratic headquarters, but look what we found.
Right.
That would have been completely
right.
unacceptable. And this is unacceptable on that same level. I've been arguing anyway.
Look at the chess match that goes on behind the scenes with when exactly information is released. The Democrats knew that they had WikiLeaks leaks that were about to be sent out to the public, and that's exactly when they let out their information about the women who had come forth and said that Donald Trump had abused them to some degree.
I'm not sure that the Democrats were holding on to those cards. I think a lot of these women. Well, the stories that I've, you know, like the stories in the Washington Post about some of these women is that they heard Trump last. Was it Sunday night? It was a week ago yesterday.
For the second last night, debate.
Where he said, you know, Anderson Cooper pressed him and said, have you ever done this? Have you, you know, the things that he had described in the tape from the bus.
Yeah.
That the Access Hollywood
Billy
tape.
Bush tape.
And have you ever done this? And he said, no. And he pressed him. He made him answer that question. And that women who heard that answer then decided to come forward at that point. I don't think these were, some of them may have been, I don't think nearly all of them were like in the Democrats' back pocket. I think they, you know, this was not something that they had been saving up for October.
Yeah.
Nothing tells me that
no.
From the interviews with the women so far. So,
if I hear one more Trump supporter say, why did these women wait till now to do it? Why didn't we hear from them years ago? It's very common that women don't speak out when they've been abused.
Right. Darlene Glanton has a very good column in this morning's Tribune about her experience being abused. And we've had conversations
yep.
here at this table. I've had conversations with a lot of women who will tell these stories. They go, well, yeah, I didn't tell anybody about it because I didn't think anyone would listen to me. I didn't
right.
think anyone would believe me. I didn't want the hassle. I didn't want the attention that's gone on. But then you look at some of this People Magazine reporter who came out with her
yeah.
story. And I don't think she's coordinating with the Democratic committee. And you know, she tells her story, and this was back, what, I think it was 2005, 6, something like that. It was a while ago that this happened to her. But that, you know, she just, it's one of those things where, you know, and she's being shamed and attacked. And people say, well, why did women come out earlier? Well, because if there's not a critical mass, you get shamed and attacked when you try to make these allegations. Look what happened to some of the early women who came out about Bill Cosby. I mean, there was like this sense like, oh, she's lying, she's making it up, she's a gold digger, she wants attention. And then finally, as we got more and more and more stories, we realized, wait a minute, there's a huge pattern going on here. And maybe these women are to be believed. But it's tough to come out and say that. It's tough to try to make an allegation like that because they do. I mean, Trump is saying, oh, there's no witnesses. Nobody saw this. Well, of course there are no witnesses. You know, you have to be like a depraved monster to be doing this in public where people could see it.
And which of these women were the ones that Trump said at a rally, come on, did you see her? She wouldn't be my first choice. That's not the right way to handle that situation.
And why do people laugh at that?
I have no idea. But that's – I can't think of a worse
way. Has he looked in the mirror? Does he look in the mirror and think that he is
this – a prize.
He's God's gift
he's
to women.
He's a prize.
Good God.
All right. A quick break and then more discussion. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it. You can call us or text us at that number. It's Bill and Wendy along with Eric Zorn of the Tribune on WGN. Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder, and Eric Zorn is our guest of the Chicago Tribune. Less than a month ago, that's the good news.
It is the good news, isn't it?
Yeah. What?
Although I think...
that's too soon. No,
didn't Trump tell his supporters they got to vote on November 28th?
Yes.
I think he did.
Yes.
I think he did. Maybe they should do
so
that.
So just over a month ago.
I'm concerned. Are you guys concerned about what I would call the November 9th problem? Like, what's this country going to be like on November 9th?
That's what we were talking about.
No matter who wins.
Mm-hmm.
I'll live with it. If Trump wins, whoever wins, I live here. I'm proud to be an American. I'm not going to move.
Until he decides to turn off your frequency during between 10 and 2 every day.
Right.
The show's not funny anymore.
Lost its edge. When I, back when I did stand-up, I always wanted the goofier candidate to be the president because it was funnier on stage. Not this time.
Well, there was somebody who tweeted, the true patriots in America are the comedians who are going to vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I know.
Because they are the ones who are going to miss out.
I know.
Well, it has been a good, it's been a good season for political satire. And,
yeah.
And you mentioned John Oliver's show, Samantha Bee's show, which is every Monday
night.
Saw
that last week. Oh,
her funny little bus ride was very cute.
Yeah.
She did
the
a good
parody
job.
Yeah. Of it all.
And do you guys watch Seth Meyers at all?
I mean,
I love him. I don't watch it.
I've heard he's really good. It's just too late for me, but I may start setting my DVR because people are saying that he has really been spot on. So I got to get that. So
We're at 312-981-7200 if you have a call or a text. Any of them are good, Wendy, whichever.
All right. Well, Dave, let's hear from Dave. Hi, Dave. Eric Zorn, Bill and Wendy.
Yeah, good afternoon. I was calling years ago. Colin Powell was asked to run for election. He said he wouldn't do it because even if he doesn't have skeletons, he's not putting his family through this. And, you know, I guess it's getting that way. Several people I know, it would run even for smaller elections, and they're like, we're not going to go through this. I mean, it's why would you put yourself and your family out there to just be lambasted for any little reason? And, you know, you got to be perfect to, even if you are perfect, somebody's going to try and say something. So well, it's.
Yeah, and look what happened to that guy Ken Bone. Have you talked about him?
A little bit.
He was the doughy guy in the red sweater who asked
America's
the question.
Sweetheart.
And then, you know, a couple of days later, people were, you know, prowling through his Reddit history. And
which isn't fair. He didn't ask for this fame.
And so they find out that he said some kind of strange things
about Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence.
And parts of her anatomy.
Well, he saw the video. I'm sure other people saw it, too.
But I think that, you know, the caller's point is exactly right. Like, who would want to go through this?
That's why we have the candidates we have, I believe, Dave.
The other thing you brought up, too, is about the way Trump looks, you know, in reverse, where he says, oh, I'm not sure I want to go with that one. If anybody has put a picture of what he looked like before this election started and now, he is really aged.
He has. You know,
you can't put a lipstick on a pig. I mean, come on. I mean, he has really gotten
You can put orange pancake makeup on him.
Dave, thank you for calling. Tom's on the line, too. This might be our last call. Hi, Tom.
Oh, hello. Good morning. Thanks for taking it. I'd like to address Eric. I'm a conservative. I almost always vote Republican. And then in the last 15 months, you know, I've called into the conservative talk shows that I listen to and basically calling them out. I'm a never Trumper from the beginning, and calling out the conservatives for their hypocrisy for in any way, shape, or form backing this guy based on his personal behavior and his policies. And, you know, I think I'm standing on pretty solid ground there. But by the same token, Eric, I read you all the time. I know you're a liberal, and I would call you out for your support of Hillary Clinton. I know you're partisan, and I got you there, brother. I get that. But here we have an election with two candidates that have such terrible personal problems. I'm voting for Gary Johnson. He's an imperfect candidate, but I think he speaks to a lot of issues that most Americans are concerned about, limited government, and, you know, maybe I disagree with his view on religious freedom and who you can marry, but I think he'd be perfectly acceptable for the country in a holding pattern. So I guess I just wanted to point that out, and I'd like to hear your response, because I'm a conservative. I really take aim at my conservative friends for what they haven't done over the last 14 months. So thank you, Eric.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Tom.
My sense, first of all, I'm sure that a vote for Gary Johnson makes perfect sense for someone like, you know, the caller, that the philosophies that Gary Johnson articulates, I think for people who are conservative and libertarian, makes sense. I think that this is an election. It's a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. That's realistically, you can cast a vote for someone else,
sure,
if you want. One of those two is going to be the next president. You know, I totally admit that Hillary Clinton has got her flaws. She's got things that infuriate me about her. As I said earlier in the program, she is going to be a fine president. She's going to work across the aisle well. She's not a radical. I don't think she's going to go into some sort of Nixonian cocoon. And I don't think, I think she's going to be okay, despite the issues that she has. Do I wish that more perfect people ran for office? Yes. Ran for president? Yes. We've said here around this table that Joe Biden probably would have been.
He would have been great.
He would have been a great candidate. He had his son die and couldn't mount a campaign. There are others who are probably promising, but, I hear what he's saying, and I'm not cheerleading for Hillary Clinton, but I do think that she'll be an okay president.
That's it, Tom. Thank you for calling.
I hope I'm wrong.
That's the attitude all Americans should take.
Yes, exactly.
This is America. We hope we're wrong.
Yes, yeah, very well said.
Eric, thank you so much.
Good to see you guys.
We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.